You've been listening to Mentoring Matters, mentoring in today's business world with hosts Rainey Petrin and Dave Carson. If you have a question for Rainey, Dave, or their guests, please call us now at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now, back to Mentoring Matters.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to Mentoring Matters. I'm Rainey Petrin, your host, along with Dave Carson, my co-host, who joins us from the UK. And when we were about to break, we were discussing the issue of matching, which is our topic for today. And Dave, you were talking about the people in the program and the interviewing process where we are. So let's pick up from there, if we can.
Okay. One of the things that I wanted to mention, Rainey, is the whole, the whole atmosphere around a mentoring program. It should be really positive. But of course, if I have applied for the program as a mentor and for some reason I'm not selected, that could kind of backfire on things. So what I wanted to talk about for a minute or so was that we also have tools available to help organizations deal with that, because it's such an important area.
Yeah.
If you get this wrong, that could impact negatively on the program. And really, if a mentor has taken the time out to apply, they're not selected, the least you want them to do is support the people who have been selected. And I think that, you know, we have the tools available, and they could be put into the pool as a resource mentor or something for the future. So, we need to handle that extremely carefully
for the
benefit of the whole program.
Yeah, I think that we have to handle mentors who are not matched with anyone, as well as mentorees, and they're handled differently based upon, you know, the purpose of the program and based upon how many people in the pool. But one of the things that I think we always start off with, we tell our clients, is we always tell people you're applying to be in the pool in this program. There is never a guarantee you'll have a match because we don't know up front who's in the pool. What we will say is, if we have the right people in the pool, we want to make so many matches. Usually in a typical pilot program, you're talking about, you know, 15 to 20 pairs. That's what we're trying to achieve, but we can't guarantee that there'll be a match for you.
Yes.
And one of the things that we also don't do is we do not give people detailed information about why we made a match.
Because absolutely.
You can't replicate the discussion that goes on in matching. So we don't tell people specifically why they were matched with someone, and we don't tell people why they weren't matched with anyone. We just indicate there wasn't the right match for you, or we made the match thinking this is a good match, and, you know, we felt you had enough common interest and so forth to be able to make it work. That's really an important point.
Sure. Now, one other thing, Rennie, and that I know we discuss in the mentoring process that really is important, is the difference in levels in job titles and what people are responsible for doing in the organization, because we do have some thoughts to bring to bear on that process as well, don't we?
Yeah, the rule of thumb, quite frankly, is, and this, you know, this assumes you're not doing peer mentoring, is that you don't match with anyone, a mentoring with anybody above one, maybe two levels above them, and that's for obvious reasons. If I match with someone too high up in the organization, I'm not going to be mentored. I'm basically going to sit there and listen to what they have to say. I mean, it may be maybe politically powerful to be mentored by the president of the company, but if I'm, you know, if I'm a first-line supervisor, I may not get a lot of stuff from that particular individual that I can use. And it may also be, you know, that they're dealing with strategic issues that I may not be involved in. Now, levels can mean different things in different companies, so it's just a rule of thumb. It could very well be that, let's say, this one company, there may be five levels you can match people with because the levels are not all that different in some respects. But it's not a make-or-break thing. It's just a criteria for you to consider when matching that levels make a difference on some level. It's
absolutely
an expression, and it's important to keep that in mind.
And the other one that we discussed some time ago, Rennie, when we were talking about a particular program we were involved in, was geography.
Exactly.
These days, organizations are becoming more global. How do we handle that one?
You know, people talk about that all the time. Matching long distance is a perfectly acceptable method and actually works quite well. I've had people who've been across the world in different time zones who have been very successful, and I've had people who were in the same building who never meet. So it's not a question of distance, it's a question of commitment.
Yes.
Now, granted, if I have my ideal, when we're sitting in a matching committee, I try to match people who are proximity to each other because, you know, you want to have face-to-face contact whenever possible. But it doesn't become the sole criterion, I should say. So that these are all things that you want to consider. And a point I want to make, because I know we're going to be running a little long time here, but I want to make this point. In the very beginning, we talked about should we have people self-select a mentor, should they be professionally matched, artificially called a forced match. And my response would be the following. If you look at what we do, if you look at the program descriptor, the profile form, the interview process, people are actually telling you who they want to be matched with. They're not giving you a name, but they're giving you what they're looking for in the individual. So in essence, they are having a say in the choice of their match by virtue of going through this process, so that at the end when the committee sits down and matches, it's actually using that. So I think it is perhaps misleading for people to say that forced matches are done and therefore they don't work because people don't have a choice. In fact, if you follow this process, we are simply taking what somebody is saying and assigning a person to that profile.
That's right.
And so there is a choice. It's a choice that is, if you will, a blind choice in the sense of I don't know the person, but I do know what I'm looking for in that person. And hopefully the committee knows people that I don't know who would be appropriate matches for me. I think that's the point I really want to emphasize because I really, when people talk about, well, forced matches don't work, I think they misunderstand what forced matches are all about.
Yes. And I think you also allude to something really important here, Rennie, and that is we have a process to implement matching, and we also have a process and a structure to implement mentoring programs. But it doesn't stifle the relationship.
Exactly.
And this is the important part.
Exactly.
It's something there for people to fall back on, but it doesn't stifle the relationship. And
right.
In fact, as you just said, it really promotes the matching and really brings the matching forward a great deal.
Yeah, and that goes back to the program descriptor design of the program. In a well-designed professional mentoring program, the structure is there to support the relationship, but it allows enough flexibility so that each relationship can develop in its own way.
Yes.
So that some people use part of the structure more than others, but there's this sense of there's something there to hang this relationship on so that we're not out there floundering by ourselves, but it has elasticity, which allows us to be able to work within the rules so that, you know, we can have a successful relationship.
Yes.
That's really an important point, I think, in your designing something, getting it together.
So, you know, Rennie, if we were to sum up this program in terms of giving people some good advice on matching, I think we would say widen your thoughts about matching. It's not in isolation.
Right.
It really begins at the design of the program, the purpose, what this program's about. It contains the goals of the program, which are going to be helpful in the matching process. Do you think that's fair, Rennie,
yeah,
for the starter?
Yeah, that's fair. It's what is your philosophy, and then structure your matching process to mirror that philosophy. Take the time. It's really important. Take the time to make matches that are at a 80 or 90% confidence level that this is going to be a good match.
Yeah. And use the appropriate tools to help you get the professional and the personal together in terms of the match.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And then if you follow that process, we recommend you have a matching committee as opposed to one individual making all the matches. So there are a number of good reasons for that. But have a matching committee consisting of a few individuals who can bring to the table an understanding of some of the players, an understanding of the organization, and who understand mentoring. If you're bringing anybody into the mentoring process on a level of administering the program, make sure they understand what you're trying to do and the philosophy behind mentoring, because
yeah,
otherwise they'll come at it from a totally different perspective and you'll be defeating the purpose behind the matching.
That's right. And above all, Rennie, it's about gathering information, enough information to have a good discussion about building that, helping people to build that relationship and make that match.
Yeah, and the other thing is remember that it's always the relationship, that the purpose behind mentoring is to build the relationship. And in building that relationship, the match, in being the match that you make will allow people to gain knowledge and skills, but at the same time gain insight into who they are, how they operate professionally within the business world.
Absolutely, yep. And, you know, just to say it again, that I really hope that this program has been helpful for people. And if they want any more information, they can email us or give us a call. What, you've got the email address there, Lenny?
Yes, it's eradio@management-mentors.com.
Lovely.
And we hope that people will tune in next week. We'll carry on our conversation in mentoring and some of the issues for us to consider that we're challenged by in mentoring as well. Well, thank you all for joining us this week. We look forward to joining you, for you to join us next week. I'm Rainey Patron, and I'm with David Carson, and we'll talk to you next week on Mentoring Matters.
Thank you for joining Rainey Petrin and Dave Carson of Mentoring Matters, mentoring in today's business world. If you'd like to learn more about mentoring, visit management-mentors.com. And be sure to tune in every Friday at 6 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Voice America Business Channel. See you next week.